Bhagavad Lila, 10th Canto, Chapter 15, The Killing of Dainakasura. When Krishna and Balaram reached the Poganda period of their life, from age 6 to 10, the Gopas allowed them to begin tending the cows. This happened in Gopastami, Kartik month, when Krishna turned 6 years old. Krishna and Balaram, surrounded by the coward boys, kept the cows in front as he would enter the forest in Vrindavan while Kaniya played upon his flute. The beauty of the forest satisfied Krishna's eyes, and the fragrance of the sweet flowers satisfied his nose, and the beautiful sounds of the birds and bees and animals satisfied Krishna's ears. And the breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petal lotuses from a clear water lake, which was still like the mind of a Paramahamsa, satisfied Krishna's sense of touch. In this way, Krishna's 5 senses reveled in happiness from contacting the Vrindavan forest. The tall trees with reddish buds and heavy burden of fruits and flowers bent down to touch Krishna's feet with the tips of the branches. In a light-hearted, joking mood, Krishna smiled gently and spoke to Dauji. "Oh, brother, see how the trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet. They're offering their fruits and flowers in hopes of eradicating the ignorance of their birth." The trees felt that due to their prior offenses, they were not able to accompany Krishna and his friends as they wandered through the forest. Actually, these trees in Vrindavan are great souls who could personally associate with Krishna. Krishna understood their mentality. So while glancing at the trees, Krishna praised them in front of Balaram. "O Dao, these bees must be great sages, for they are following you and singing your glories. The peacocks are excitedly dancing before you out of joy, and the doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, and the cuckoos honor you with Vedic stutis and stavas. Indeed, the behavior of the forest residents toward you just befits great souls that are receiving another great soul at home. Oh, my brother, the earth has become very, very fortunate because you are touching her with your lotus feet, and you're touching the trees of the earth with your fingers, and with your merciful glances, you're blessing the rivers, mountains, birds, and animals. And above all, with your 2 arms, you're embracing the young coward women of Braj. Such a favor is hankered after by Lakshmi Devi herself." The ecstatic honeybees, mad from drinking flower nectar and associating with Krishna, would sometimes close their eyes and begin to sing. While Krishna walked along the forest path with his Gopa friends, his friends would sometimes imitate the singing of the birds. Krishna, in turn, would imitate the chuckling of the parrots, or call a cuckoo in a sweet voice, or imitate the cooing of the swans. Sometimes Krishna would joke with his playmates, saying, "Look, dekho, this peacock does not know how to dance properly." Then Krishna would vigorously imitate the peacock's dancing making all his friends laugh heartily. Ha, 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 ha. Sometimes, in a deep voice, Krishna would affectionately call the names of the animals that had wandered off from the herd, thus enchanting all the cows and boys. Davali, Shobali, Hamsi, Chandani, Dumra, Saraswati, Ganga. Sometimes Krishna would imitate the songbirds, the chakoras, peacocks, and bharadwajas, and run with the smaller animals in mock fear of the roaring lions and tigers. When Baladev became tired from playing, he would lie down on the ground with his head on the lap of a cowherd boy. Krishna would help his brother relax by massaging his feet and fanning him and bringing him cool water to drink. Sometimes the gopas would dance and sing and move about, playfully fighting with each other. At that time, Krishna and Dao would glorify their gopa friends' activities and laugh while standing nearby holding each other's hand. Sometimes Krishna would become tired from fighting and lie down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd boy as a pillow. Those cowherd boys, who were all great souls, would massage Govinda's feet, and others would expertly fan him. Other boys would sing enchanting songs that were appropriate for the occasion, and their hearts would melt in Krishna prema as they sang. In this way, Krishna concealed his Aishwarya Vibhuti, transcendental opulences, and acted like a cowherd boy. Yet even while enjoying life as a village boy, Krishna would often exhibit grand, majestic, godly feats that only Bhagavan could execute. One day, Sridham and Subal Stoka Krishna lovingly said, "O mighty armed Ram, O Krishna, destroyer of the miscreants. Near here, on the way to Govardhan Hill, there is Talavan Forest, which is full of palm trees, and there are many tasty fruits lying in the ground. Unfortunately, it is guarded by Dainakasura, a powerful ass demon, and his friends, friendly asses. Dainakasura is so ferocious that he eats men alive, so people and animals stay far away from there. Even the birds do not fly over that forest. The tall fruits are very sweet and we can smell them, but no one has tasted one so far. Even now the breeze is carrying that fragrance and we're becoming immensely attracted. Oh Krishna, please get some of this fruit for us. We're very attracted by the aroma. Oh Baladev, we want to eat this fruit very much. If you think it's a good idea, then let us go to the Talavan." The gopas took it for granted that Krishna and Dauji could easily kill all the demons. Really, the coward boys were not greedy to eat fruit, but they were greedy to enjoy joking pastimes with Krishna and Balaram. Upon hearing the gopas' request, Kaniya and Dauji laughed. Then, desiring to please their friends, they set off for Talavan. Balaram entered the Tala forest first And with his powerful arms, he forcibly shook the trees, causing all the fruits to fall to the ground. Hearing the sound of the falling tall fruits, the demon Deinakasura came rushing there, making the earth tremble. He charged at Baladev, kicked him forcibly in the chest with his hind legs, and continued running about, braying loudly. Again he came in front of Baladev, with his back facing the Lord, screaming loudly. Deinaka attempted to kick Balaram once more, but Balaram expertly caught him by the hooves, whirled him around with one hand, and killed that demon Deinakasura. Then Baladev threw him in the top of a palm tree, which was the tallest tree in the forest, and the tree broke under the demon's weight. And then it became a domino effect, and the next tree next to it fell down, and one after another, many trees fell down as a chain reaction. Bum, 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 bum. The friendly asses of Deinakasura were enraged seeing the death of their leader, so they attacked Krishna first, because they thought it was not wise to fight with Balaram. He seemed too powerful. Krishna and Balaram grabbed their hind legs and threw them all on the tops of the palm trees. A very beautiful scene was created because this earth was strewn with heaps of fruit, and the dead bodies of the ass demons stuck in the trees. The demigods quickly assembled in the sky, showering flowers and music and prayers of glorification. Everyone felt relieved and started to return to the Talavan forest to enjoy the fruits, and the cows grazed freely upon the grass. It was not actually the relatives or family members of Krishna who ate the tall fruits, but the Adivasis and Palindas and forest dwellers, they ate those fruits which were considered contaminated because of touch of the demon's blood. Krishna and Balaram returned to Braj while the boys sang Krishna's glories. Krishna's hair looked extremely beautiful, powdered with the goduli, dust raised by the cows. He had a peacock feather and forest flowers adorning his topknot. Krishna glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully while listening to his companions glorify him. Eager to meet Krishna, the gopis gathered along the road. Since they were Brajavadu, young married brides, they were a little shy and ashamed and fearful to cast loving glances at a handsome young boy like Krishna. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone is his servant, Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas, the gopis of Braj, the cowherd damsels, who were the most pure-hearted of great souls, they did not hesitate to step forward and fulfill their vision by drinking the beautiful darshan of Krishna's sweet form. Thus the gopis removed the distress of separation they felt during the day when Krishna was out with the cowherd boys and cows. Krishna accepted the gopis' glances, which were filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission. While entering the cowherd village, Yashoda Ma and Rohini welcomed their sons. They had trays with all the best things to offer them, ready for their happiness. Their mothers bathed and massaged them, thus relieving Krishna and Balaram of the fatigue caused by walking in the fields. Then Krishna and Balaram were dressed attractively in beautiful clothes and garlands and fragrant substances. They ate their mother's meal and then they lay down on excellent beds and happily went to sleep. One day, surrounded by his Gopa friends, Krishna went to the Yamuna without Balaram because it was his birthday. It was a very hot day, and the boys were very thirsty. They drank the water of the Yamuna, but somehow had become contaminated by poison. And the boys fell down unconscious, appearing as dead. Krishna felt great compassion seeing this. He immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectar-like glance upon them. After standing up and coming out of the water, the boys stared at one another in great astonishment. Returning to external consciousness, the coward boys who had fallen unconscious from drinking the poisoned waters of the Yamuna at Kaliyada said, they were thinking, "We were dead. How did we come back to life? What medicine or mantra was used to remove the poison?" Looking at one another with great surprise, the Gopa boys spoke with their eyes, "Friend, do you know the secret?" One Sakka answered the other with a glance, "I know how we were saved." Then he spoke, "Listen, I remember the Namkarana, name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Baladev, wherein Gargacharya said, 'This child will very easily save you from all dangers.' This is the secret." Then with complete absorption, all the coward boys remembered Krishna, their most lovable object. By this they all became astonished. The Gopa boys concluded positively that although they had drunk poison and died, they were revived by the merciful glance of Govinda, who was empowered by Lord Narayan, the worshipable deity of Nanda Maharaj. Dhenukasura represents a major stumbling block or an artha to Braj Bhajan in a mood of pure bhakti. He represents ignorance of the truth due to idiocy, loss of knowledge of one's spiritual identity, ignorance concerning the non-difference of Krishna and his name, and ignorance of our relationship with Krishna. It represents material intelligence, which is equated with ignorance of spiritual knowledge. Sometimes they say that Dhenukasura represents the ass, of course, carries heavy load and heavy burden. So those neophyte sadhakas who are carrying a heavy burden of Vaidhi sadhana, strictly following all the rules and regulations, and have not come to the platform of lovamayi, ragamayi bhakti, or devotion mixed with rag or attachment for the moods and services of the Brijvasis, then he's considered to be load-bearing. And if someone else, some other devotee, tries to taste the fruits of higher levels of bhakti by his intense greed, lovamayi, shraddha, or due to the blessings of good association with Rasik Vaishnavas in last life or this life, he tries to sincerely follow Rag Marg, then that other ass-like neophyte may criticize him or kick him or attack him due to their load-bearing tendency. So Balaram especially killed these ass demons, and then Krishna also. So there may be a lot of ass-like mentalities in ourselves, carrying a burden of our bad habits and a heavy weight of our offensive mentalities or our idiocy or ignorance. And we can pray to Krishna and Balaram. They can grab the feet of these ass-like ideas and conceptions, Dhenukasura and Arthas, and our ignorance that prevents us from realizing the nami and nam, nam and nami, Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. They are one. They are the same. Krishna's name is Krishna's form. Krishna's name is Krishna's qualities. Krishna's name is Krishna's leelas. Krishna's name is Krishna. And Krishna's name is Radha. And Krishna and all their associates and all of Vrindavan, all the leela stalis. So that ignorance about the name of Krishna, and ignorance of our sambandha, or our relationship with Krishna, what is our sthayi bhav, all of these ass-like misconceptions and coverings and obstacles and hurdles and layers of ignorance can be removed by the mercy of Krishna Balaram and Sri Guru. We pray to this story, the Bhagavatam, and especially to the Lord, that we can become realized and understand the spiritual identity of the name and our own spiritual identity.